Guys, thank you. So we have a halacha that we're required to honor a kohen, right? And the Torah has a mitzvah of kiddushto, right? And so they say, for example, where you have a mezumen at a banquet. Well, they say even before that, they said a kohen should actually be clear first before anyone else. When he says, well, if there's a group of people going to wash their hands, you should give them deference to go first. He should be the one who, if one person's going to make a motzi on a loaf of bread, he should be the one to do it. We know that if possible, he gets to leave the benching. And we know, obviously, the place where it usually happens is with laning, where it's Kohen Levi Yisrael during the week. And every other time, it's Kohen Levi Yisrael, Yisrael, Yisrael. So you get to Achrayim, where you can do other things. Rav Pereira's students asked him, they said, we want to know, how did you have the schus to have a long life? We want to emulate you so that we could have the same bracha. And he said, I was very careful with three things. I never let anybody get to the Beis HaMedrash before me. I would never leave the benching if there was a Kohen there. And I never ate from an animal before having given the parts which go to a Kohen to a Kohen.
Yeah.
It says, right, there's going to be a Kohen Gadol. And it says there must be qualifications satisfied for someone to get the office of Kohen Gadol. And it said the first one was wisdom. The Kohen did the avoda on behalf of everyone. And the quality that mattered above all for his responsible actions was his knowledge of Torah, so he could do it properly and he could understand what it is to do. It says that a Kohen Gadol had to have a handsome appearance. External beauty was never something that the Torah mandated. But when it came to a Kohen Gadol, right, it seems there's a preference for someone who makes a roshen, makes an impression based on appearance. And he says it's similar to the way people try to pick the nicest esrog when they do a mitzvah, there's something to it. I would imagine if one Kohen was better looking and the other one was a Talmud Chacham, I don't think Charles Atlas would have trumped. He was good if he had physical strength, right? Because on the day of Yom Kippur, he had so many things to do. The avoda was so long and involved so many steps. Strength was needed. We're told of the fantastic strength of Aaron when the Levium were being the replacement for the Bechorim. The Levium all had to be lifted and waved, and Aaron lifted 22,000 Levium in one day. It says, so Aaron, it was known that he did have a special gift of strength. But it says the Kohanim, right, they needed this. He says, a Kohen doing the Malika, nipping the bird's head, stood on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. He would remove the crop and feathers, and he would throw them to the Beis Hadeshen at the opposite corner of the altar, which was 60 feet, 30 amos. And these things were not heavy, and so they needed a significant amount of force to propel them to their appropriate destination. It says that a Kohen Gadol, right, has to have a degree of wealth. It says he should have been the most wealthy of the Kohanim, and if he didn't have that, they actually, the Kohanim passed around the hat or the checkbook to make sure he had that. If the only thing he lacked was financial wealth, they made sure to give it to him. It says the Kohen Gadol was to have dignity, right? And he should have experience, something that is only gained with age. It says, notwithstanding, age was not a preventative measure, that if he wasn't old in years. It says, too, that when a Kohen Gadol was being replaced, I don't know if any Kohanim Gadolim ever retired. That I don't know, due to infirmity or whatever. But it said, if appropriate, his son would be the first choice if he has the other necessary qualities.
Were any of the Kohen Gadols killed? Were any of the Kohen Gadols died when they did the Avodah?
They said that in the second Beis Hamikdash, they almost died every year.
So in that case, who took over for them?
Another scoundrel. It seems year after year, these guys didn't get it. They saw the Kohen Gadol die in the coming up, either in or out of the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, because they were not appropriate. Some of them were tzidukim, others were whatever. They weren't appropriate people. And notwithstanding, for that little bit of covet, the guy was willing to die on Yom Kippur. Like, you'd think that after you've seen it six or seven times, maybe you get the message. But I guess it's like Democrats. They never get the message. Okay? It says, Pinchas.
Hello?
Hello?
Welcome back. Hi, Hannah. Could you come back in a half hour?
Can you mute the half hour back, please? Pinchas is nominated as Kohen Gadol. The Kohanim went out to meet him, and they saw he was hewing stones in the quarry to ensure he never had to do it again. They brought a tremendous number of gold coins to the quarry, thereby enriching him that he could now retire to the life of being the Kohen Gadol, not have to worry about Parnassa, right, and give his full attention to being Kohen Gadol. So we have here, this comes from Vayikra Rabbah, the Medrash. It says, if perchance a Kohen Gadol or king would not have been considered handsome or strong enough to do the task, but was otherwise perfect for it, a nes occurred. Our Chachamim tell us that when the Shemen HaMishka, the oil of anointment, which was the one Moshe made and continued down the line, when it went onto his head, it gave him whatever additional physical properties he needed to reach the status of, you know, call it handsome, whatever. Plus, right, it would imbue him with the necessary strengths. He says, I'm going to talk about a miracle with regard to the king of this.
What about his knowledge? Did it enhance his knowledge?
What?
Did it enhance his knowledge?
I don't know. It doesn't say. I imagine what they're saying is that if a Kohen was probably a tzaddik, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and should be the Kohen Gadol, and the only impediment, right, might have been, you'd say, okay, he doesn't meet the standard of being, you know, presentable or, you know, making an impression, and he's not strong enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Siyata Dishmayim, gave those attributes to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're talking about David HaMelech, and they're talking about when he went out to go against Goliath. It says David had spent all his time tending Yishai's sheep, was not a warrior, and had never been exposed to war, etc. And yet, when they were looking for someone to take on Goliath, who was blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, he said, let me try and do it. So it says, they turned to him and it says, what makes you think that you could take this guy on? And he said, let me tell you, I had the task of being the guard of my father's herd. Wild beasts once attacked them. And he says, on occasion it happened that four lions and three bears joined forces to come on the flocks. But somehow I was able to thwart them. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu have done this miracle for me? I think what he wanted to indicate to me was that just as he assisted me in that moment in basically slaying these beasts, he would give me siyata d'shmaya one day when Klal Yisroel would require it. It says King Shaul was impressed in David's steadfast emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, trust in Hashem. And he said, go and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu be with you. Let me give you my armor and my helmet. Shaul gave these to David. Now this is a well-known medrash, right? It's a Gemara. Shaul was a head taller than any, he was the tallest person in the nation. David was not a tall person. And Shaul's armor should have basically dwarfed him. However, Shmuel HaNavi, when he met David, was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take the anointing oil, right, pour it on his head, and anoint him as the king of Israel. And now that he was putting on Shaul's armor, miraculously it fit to the T. Now, this was a message, obviously, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to David. However, Shaul HaMelech was not very happy about this, because all of a sudden,
it didn't fit him.
Right, David, it said, had grown to Shaul's height, and Shaul was convinced he was seeing the future king before his eyes. And Shaul became jealous. And it says, David could see from the look on Shaul's face, whatever his expression was, David got the message that he was none too happy. So David said, no, this is not for me. I can't use armor. You know, I've never fought in armor in my life, and he took it off. But it says this story, this incident, gives proof to what we said, that the Shemen HaMishka poured on the head of the true king, or the true Kohen Gadol, gives them the physical attributes they need to successfully fulfill their duties. We're told also that it says that when Shaul was anointed king, it says immediately the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came upon him. And regarding David, it says, the spirit of Hashem came on David from that day onward. We have the following statement, that the Kohanim Gedolim in the first Beis Hamikdash were all Kaddish. They were all holy. And they embodied the lofty ideals which they were to represent. Lo and behold, unfortunately, during the Bayis Sheni, many of the people who got the office bribed their way in. It says, he's quoting from Mishle, where it says, the fear of Hashem prolongs days, but the years of the wicked are shortened. In the second Beis HaMikdash, in the course of 420 years, there were over 300 high priests. Since they were unworthy, most of them died within the first year of their service. In the Bayis Rishon, in 410 years, there were only 18 Kohanim Gedolim. These people were Yirei Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them full terms as Kohen Gadol. And this comes from a Gemara in Yuma, it says. So, the Kohen Gadol has special halachas. He may not marry a widow. It says a widow has had an affinity and is used to the way her first husband conducted himself, and she will find it more difficult to adjust to make whatever sacrifices are required to be the Kohen Gadol's wife. He's commanded to marry a young girl, or younger girl, who has never had relations with a man. The Kohen Gadol is never allowed to attend to a funeral, not even of his parents. there's a statement that how, if God forbid, he does become the one who loses parents or any of the other close relatives, he basically had to let the body and the procession go first. He had to stay behind and at times hide himself into certain enclaves on the way, etc. And he never sat on a low ground, but the people did it, and they said, we are going to be the ones who are going to be mourners, so to say, in your stead. Because the Kohen Gadol has to be ready at all times to do the Avodah and cannot become Tameh. The only one exclusion that we mentioned is should he, God forbid, find a Meis Mitzvah, and he's the only one there, that he, even the Kohen Gadol, must attend to the burial of the corpse found out in the field. A Kohen who had a physical defect could not perform service, the Avodah, and he was not even permitted to enter the Kodesh section of the Beis HaMikdash. A physical defect could be a birth defect, for example, blindness even in one eye, or a temporary one, say an injury, healing. And the Kohen had to wait until he was healed to return to Avodah. It says the Chachamim listed 140 different physical problems which are considered a blemish disqualifying a Kohen Gadol. It says in the Zohar that the Kohen is supposed to be God's emissary on the earth. Since the Shekhinah lives in a completely pristine area, the Kohen has got to be as pristine as possible. A Kohen who didn't do the Avodah was used for other tasks, such as checking the wood to make sure it was free of worms. A Kohen would also be disqualified if he was a halal, meaning that his father married someone a Kohen's not supposed to marry. It says, one of Edrin's major jobs was, one of Kohedrin's major jobs was to determine which Kohanim met the standard that they were not blemished. And they considered two things, of course. One, they checked the Yichus to make sure no one was a halal, right? A disqualified Kohen, and the other thing was to make sure the potential Kohen, or the potential Kohen to the service, didn't have physical blemishes. If he was disqualified because of family problem in Yichus, it says they would put on him black garments as a sign of mourning, and he would leave the Azorah, the courtyard, in black. If he was a kosher Kohen, and he could do the Avodah, he would dress in white. And I guess if he were blemished, he just wore his regular clothes. At the end of a day on which a Kohen And then on a day when the Sanhedrin did the inspection of potential new Kohanim, and all were kosher, they had a Suda, a feast. And they praised the Kadosh Baruch Hu with the words, "Blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blessed be He, for the fact that no disqualified Kohen was found in our own family, and blessed be he who chose our own and his sons to serve before him in the Holy of Holies. If a Kohen became Tomei, which did happen at times, he had to leave doing the avoda, go through a period of tahara, making himself tahar, and come back to the Beis HaMikdash. While tamei, he could not eat any of the sacrifices, right? He couldn't eat truma. And he was not allowed, obviously, in the holy precinct of the Beis HaMikdash. All right. We'll pick up tomorrow with the halachas of those who are not allowed to eat teruma. Thank you very much. Have a very good day. Kol Tov.
Thank you, Gary. Have a great day.
All the best.